Mary. DC sounded like 82 BSG. How you doing?
Oscar 4 Slew Echo Whiskey. I was going through a dip, or am I getting a lot of fuzz?
Okay, a lot of static on the machine today.
Throw static.
Yeah, I think it's the machine. I think a little bit of wind and cool weather got some static issues.
This is Ben, as it fits, down in Simpsonville. I just reinstalled my back mount antenna after washing the car, so I was worried I screwed that up.
Hey, you sound good here. I'm over in Traveler's Rest here on 25, so you sound fine. KB2H excess.
Gee, what occasionally happens is some time ago they put that antenna higher on the repeater. They added an additional 400 feet of feed line. The problem now is that it couples to the tower, and it has all kinds of intermod distortion because everybody else's antenna is up there. Police and fire department, you know, whatever else is there. But, yeah, sometimes it's not always you.
No, it's everybody. I believe it's a bad connection somewhere. I'm pulling into a gas station here, guys. I'm going to sign out. KB2HXS.
Down the log. KO4ZEW, this is Ben. I'm still on. I'm on my way to Walmart. It's my daughter's birthday today, so I got to grab a card and a cake, maybe a Lego set.
ZEW, okay, now I heard you. KD2BNG, if I didn't give it earlier. Yeah, you know, playing around with antennas and radios, always fun, I suppose. The other station, it was you talking about getting the antenna off the car, the back mount to wash the car. This back mount antenna has been on the roof so long, I'm not sure I can't get it off. And it's a back mount. It was designed for a CB antenna, so it's a big, heavy mag mount. Last time I tried to pry it off, I couldn't do it. Even slide it toward the window, you can't really do that. So it's on there.
Great. I picked up a new one at the Shelby Ham Show this summer. Picked up a Comet antenna and upgrade to a 5-inch mag mount NMO from a 3-inch mag mount. So, a little different. Takes a little more to get it off of there, but that's the idea.
Better generally, although you sometimes wonder about, and you need to put it in there, seal the roof correctly, and are you eventually going to get rain and rust in there? But, yeah, that was also, professional stereo installers, they know how to put these things in such a way that you hide all the wires and things, and things run completely everywhere in the car. Me, I'm just put a magnet on the roof and run the antenna wire through the window or through the top of the door.
I'm no professional, but I did some car stereo work, so I have the antenna feed line kind of tucked underneath some trim inside the car. So, and then I have the antenna line running out the trunk of the SUV. So. It's tucked in real well on the interior, but it still has to go through that weather stripping to get outside of the car.
How long you're gonna keep the car or the truck? I usually plan my purchases planning on getting something reasonably okay and driving it into the ground. But, I would, if I could keep this as long as, forever, I would. Although, usually some circumstance or other, you want to sell it to get something else. I don't think I've bought a new vehicle in 20 years. If you get pick out a good used car, which I guess I'm not that good at doing, because nobody, you can't afford anything now anyway.
I've never bought a new car in my entire life. I probably never will. I usually go some kind of certified pre-owned. I bought a few from CarMax, and they're a quality play.
with us?
My wife and I are on a 10-year plan for cars. She gets a new one, then 5 years later I get a new one. 5 years later she gets a new one, and so forth.
Pre-owned, I think, is the way to go, which I don't think I've ever done. Usually you get something cheaper from a private party on Craigslist or somewhere. Of course, you know, obviously it's not been vetted, and you don't really know what condition it's really in. The last vehicle I got at an auction. I was lucky it was able to drive home. But I knew that was probably going to be the case. But a good used car, if you don't have to put a lot of money into it, what is it, after you get a 30% drop in value within the first year of the new car anyway, and as soon as that new car smell leaves, it's probably worth 20 to 30% less.
I've done some private deals on cars, but usually that's for a project car, for a secondary, something that if something on it breaks, I can still get to work. So I've been in that situation where I only had a project car. It wouldn't start in the morning or something bad happened. So now I'm like, I have my primary car. I don't do project cars anymore because I got two little girls. I've had some interesting project cars. And you can usually say, all right, I'm going to buy a used car and I'm going to have to go ahead and add another $3,000 to it for whatever is wrong with it.
Next time I'll try to do something like certified pre-owned. Now, you know, this one I got now is relatively reliable. Toyota bought 7 Toyota Prius. Toyota made a reliable car in the Prius for the most part. I mean, wouldn't you happen to know, I'd get the one that has a bunch of gremlins. But, you know, those are generally not bad. Right now I got to replace the dashboard module, whatever they call it, because I've basically got no gauges. You know, no odometer, no speedometer, no fuel gauge. So that gets to be annoying.
Nasty one, depending on whether you have to replace the whole thing as a unit or some kind of controller board or individual gauges. So, I'm a Prius. They're hybrids, so they're gas electric, but they don't have batteries. Is that correct?
The Prius is an internal combustion engine and a motor generator, both in parallel with the transaxle, so either one or both of the car. There's that big battery pack, the 210-volt battery pack, for the electric, for the motor generator. You know, that thing, if you lose that thing, that's an expensive thing to replace. They last maybe 10 years. This one is probably already on borrowed time. But they did get good gas. They do get good gas mileage. I had another one that was usually giving me, I'd say, probably close to 50 miles a gallon. And actually, in city driving, it works even better. Because a lot of times in city driving, as you're sitting there, you know, the internal combustion engine cuts out. And it restarts only when it has to charge the battery, or whenever you give it the throttle. So, it's a good car, especially as a city car.
The gas mileage is really the big... That was really the initial draw to them. And, as well as the smaller size, because that's really good for cities. People driving around town with these, F-350s and stuff, and, I'm like, you're not going to find anywhere to park.
It's all that small. It's not quite a midsize, but I wouldn't call it a subcompact. It's compact. It's got a decent amount of room. There's a surprising amount of cargo room to pull down the rear seat. I mean, I've taken things from this car you wouldn't expect to be able to fit.
W for ID. I think compact, but they're kind of like a TARDIS inside, where there's, you know, it's just more well designed, so that there's more usable space inside of it than you really saw it.
TARDIS from the Doctor Who series is bigger on the inside than on the outside. I've actually taken, as I said, a surprisingly large amount of cargo into this thing. Almost maybe half of you would fit in the bed of a pickup, or even a van. You know, I wouldn't do that on a regular basis, but I think I've had maybe almost 1,000 pounds in this thing.
That's a good bit. And that was inside. You weren't towing.
Materials. You're not going to get a sheet of plywood in here. Probably not even a half sheet. But actually, I've taken the 8-foot-long bits of lumber. And I've even taken 10-foot-long pieces of copper and PVC. It goes all the way to the windshield. But it will fit. Heck with it if you're going to do this on a regular basis, just get a truck. But, you know, for me, I could actually do it with one of those little smart cars. I don't know if you've seen those. The entire thing is maybe 18 long, and it's got like a 70-foot wheelbase, and it weighs about 1,800 pounds. And what does it really need to carry? It needs to carry me and a couple of extra groceries. That's all I ever need.
I have seen those. And actually, I don't know if you remember the 70s, when Honda had the CBCC, and it was a little tiny, I mean, it must be smaller than a Mini, even. And those things were tiny, had a little motorcycle engine in them, I think. They were like the predecessor to the Civic. The smart cars make me think of those. Haven't really grabbed here in America. I don't know if they're selling well elsewhere. But that was a neat little car.
Yeah, I saw that. It was on, and I guess, you know, if you were trying to make it an environmental statement, I guess that was a good one. The Pope was traveling around in one. I think it was like a stretch Fiat 500. But some summit somewhere a couple of years ago, you know, and I guess if you're trying to make an environmental statement, you have all these other diplomats and dignitaries arriving in these big Mercedes E-classes or whatever, E or E-class limousines, and you're driving up in this little, I think a stretch Fiat.
It'd be hilarious, and it would definitely make a statement. I can see that. I always picture the big, you know, E-Class, S-Class Mercedes with the flags on the front.
In some ways, maybe the other dignitaries were even a little embarrassed. Hey, who's driving up in that little piece of crap? Oh, sorry, Your Eminence. Nice to meet you, sir, Your Holiness. So if it serves to embarrass the other dignitaries a little bit, you know, that's good, too.
Well, hey, listen, I'm here at the store. I'm going to have to jump off here in a second. But, good catching a fellow car guy on the radio.
Well, for car guy, I know a few things about a lot. Anyway, I'll talk to you later. Your call sign escapes me. KO4, Hit KD2BNG. I'll be clear.
This is KO4ZEW, Kilo Oscar 4, Zulu Echo Whiskey. Ben, as in Benjamin. I'm calling out of Simpsonville. Is it good talking to you? And I'll be clear as well.